Welcome to the Hole in the Wall Business Podcast with Bill and James. I'm James Groves, and along with my business partner, Bill Dement, we want to share our journey as small business owners with you. As owners of Hole in the Wall Drywall Repair, we will attempt to peel back the curtain of owning a small business in the trade service industry and talk about the many adventures of owning a small business. Hey, Bill.
James.
How is it going?
It's going good.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about today. We've actually had this podcast on the books for a couple months now.
Yep, and I've been looking forward to it.
And it's funny, for the past 40 minutes, 45 minutes, we've just been chatting. And it's like, man, we should record some of this stuff.
Yeah,
this
and I had to admonish you that I told you every time this guy shows up, doesn't matter if we're on or not, just hit record and grab what we can.
So good. Well, I want to get right into it because there's a momentum kind of going on in the room that I kind of want to keep capturing. But we are so happy to have Sanjay Parekh back here with us. Sanjay.
Hey, good morning.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you for being here. Sanjay is with AMSUM Consulting, and he's had a consulting business for many years. A lot of people who have been on this podcast have used you in their services, and you've helped develop many businesses. And then this past couple of years, you've been on another journey that has been incredible to follow. So welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, James and Bill. It is an honor. It's a pleasure once again to be here. And, you know, we were actually looking forward to having this conversation in January mm-hmm. when we thought we would wish each other Happy New Year. But we're still not that far off. And well, that's great. Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And traveling the world before we even got here. So it's just kind of fun to see that. Yeah. Sanjay, I kind of want to jump right into it just a little bit. I know that obviously in your consulting business, you have touched, and if you've not listened to episode 56, go back and listen to Sanjay's story, episode 56. It is fabulous.
Great story, wealth of information.
So much data that we have to have him back as often as we possibly can. But on the end of that podcast, we talked about how you were consulting with an emergency ambulance service. Mm-hmm. And then they eventually brought you on mm-hmm. To run the company a couple years ago.
That's right.
And then now since then, you've gone through a rebrand. You've renamed the entire company, rebranded the entire company. I've seen all the websites and the social media stuff. So I'm curious if we could kind of dig into some of those successes. Because to me, looking at you as a friend from the outside, I've seen you, I've known you for many years, we've been in the same social circle, but being able to put all the things that you've been talking to people about for years,
yes.
not just into practicing their businesses, but you've been able then to turn the company around.
Right.
I don't know if we can talk about that as much as we can, but tell me, what was this Trident EMS journey like for you?
So this has been nothing less of a roller coaster ride. It was very exciting. I got attached with or involved with this company as a management consultant, as you already know. And over a period of time, realized the investors and the board of directors wanted me to be more closely involved with the company. So rather than just being a consultant from the outside, they wanted me to be someone who gets involved with the company a little more. So they wanted me to become the CEO of the company, an interim CEO at first. I tried to understand because this was a very different business from what my background was. So I come from a packaging industry and a global manufacturing background. And then I got into consulting based on my, you know, 30 years of experience. And then getting into emergency medical services out here was something which was very different. But all businesses are, you know, at the end of the day, dealing with people. All the businesses at the end of the day want to make money. And so the goal of any and every business remains the same. You have customers, your clients, or whatever that you would want to term it. You know, different businesses have them all. So you need to know how to take care of them as well. So the same fundamentals were there in this business. And I went by one philosophy when a lot of people asked me earlier, like, what is it? How can you? You don't know anything about my business. How are you going to help me with that? And I used to tell them that, well, I don't need to know much about your business. I need to know about how to run a business. And that is where I bring in some experience, which can help you in performing better in whatever business you are in. Because as they say that, you know, the science of making money, it's binary, right? Either you make it or you don't. There's mm-hmm. nothing else. So the same way for business, it is just the same thing. You're dealing with people, you're dealing with customers, you're dealing with, you know, whether the balance sheet, it's a balance sheet or the P&L, the income statement, you're talking about some big company like Amazon, which would run into billions of dollars, or you're talking about, you know, an average, a small business that is here, which would be just in a few hundred thousand dollars. The line items are very similar. You know, the format is similar. So it's just the same thing that it could people could understand what the business is like, and if they know what are the things that they need to focus on, then that is what would help any and every business succeed. Because as they say, that 90% of the businesses fail within the first 5 years. The ones that do survive very seldom see, you know, more than $1 million in their revenues. So what is it that you can do to, so as to speak, break the glass ceiling in order to get where you need to get to? Those were some of the concepts that I learned over the years. I have also followed some very successful people. I have understood that. I have then kind of curated a program, a two-day workshop, business management workshop that I was doing earlier, you know, which I still do sometimes. I just did it with somebody, you know, over Zoom for 2 days. Because he really wanted to do it. So I helped him in his business, where we kind of give you an understanding of everything that is required in order to know how to go about doing the business the right way. The angles, the areas, the blind spots that you would have in your business. So if one understands that, it just becomes much more beneficial for them to know and to be successful. These were the same principles that, you know, I actually took in this business in First to Aid, which was earlier formerly known as First to Aid, is now Trident EMS, and implemented everything one by one. I didn't know much about the business, but then over a period of time, we focused on what were the right things in the business. And today the company is doing better than what it was doing earlier.
Very good. So First to Aid, and then somewhere in that process, you realized that you wanted to switch the brand entirely.
Yes.
Yeah. So how did you come up with the idea of going to Trident?
So there were a lot of things when the company was started 5 years ago. There were a lot of things that this company did that later on, which we found out that it shouldn't have been doing. And, you know, we had a lot of calls coming from facilities, from, you know, the healthcare services, some hospitals, some ERs, some skilled nursing facilities started calling us up and said that we would like to sign a contract with you. And that usually doesn't happen. So when I was a little curious, I did meet with some of the senior officials and the management of those hospitals, those facilities. And they said that, well, we do see that there is a lot of change that has happened in the company over the last few months. And we wanted to know, you know, what is it that you've done? Because now your people are better. The service provided is better. The estimated arrival times that you are giving to our departments are much better. You're quite spot on. So we see that there have been changes. We would like to know what those are. And now we would like to sign a contract with you. So we said, like, you know, we explained to them what were the changes that we made and how we did that. So then they told us that, you know, a few years ago, we wouldn't have touched your company with a 10-foot pole, because now you are like First to Aid 2.0. And that is when it struck me and my team, and we said, like, okay, let's do a little bit of understanding and break the situation and know where we are. So we do have the potential to do business the way we are continuing to do business now. But because we still have the old brand name, some of the companies or some of the facilities are staying away from us. So rather than, it's difficult for us to explain to everybody that we are now First to Aid 2.0. Yeah. It's better that we just rebrand completely and have a name that's not been used before. And so we came up with the name Trident EMS. And since October of 2023, we completely rebranded and changed to Trident EMS.
So I'm curious, how long did it take from beginning of that process through to done rebranding? How long was that process?
It was almost a 6 months process, 6 to 7 months. It took us that long to kind of, you know, A, come up with a name that was not already taken by anybody before. And so we had to do a lot of search along those lines. And once when we realized that this was one of the names, you know, there were several names which we had to kind of eliminate based on what was available and not available. And then we decided that this was a name that was not taken anywhere. And then we just kind of came up with that name. And the team was on board. I, we have a good management team now. The team was on board, and we just had to do some legal formalities and procedures that took us additional 2 months to comply with. And after all that was done, then we just rebranded.
Wow. Well, I mean, it's a great idea because there was possibly a little bit of negativity with the old name, how things were run.
Yes.
And so you really are a different company. It's the same company, mm-hmm. but it's a different company. It's a better company. Things are different now. So
yes.
I love that idea. I know that we had a guest on our podcast a couple weeks ago, Crystal Buffet, and she had a business, Riviera Wellness, and she would do massages.
Yeah,
and
it's kind of a spa theme.
And then when she went to franchise, that name was taken. And so she had to start all over again and rebrand.
Turns out a company in Las Vegas that has been closed for many years. As a hotel. He owns the Riviera.
As a hotel on the Strip that's empty.
Yeah.
So she had to basically stop her process for a few months to get. Right.
And there was a considerable expense as well.
Considerable expense to create C3 Wellness and Spa and stuff. But that hurdle has made her a better company. So it's interesting. We talk a lot about begin with the end in mind. When we're dealing with entrepreneurs and people, we want to make sure that we start what is the end goal before we get too far down the road.
That's true.
It's easier to steer the bus once it's moving. So yeah. Sometimes you just have to get moving. Mm-hmm. But like take the time to create the logo. Take the time to create mm-hmm. the website. Take the time to create some processes.
Well, and another point is sometimes those challenges you have, like I need to stop and rebrand, sometimes those challenges just do make you better. The process of going back through and rethinking every step makes you come out of the back end a better company.
Yeah, and in this particular business, we had to, because we are currently operational in 5 counties in Central Florida. So we have, the permit to operate in these 5 counties. So we had to kind of, approach, make an application with all the 5 counties, with all their commissioners and with, the complete EMS system to ensure that they could then clear this and then give it to us. And then the Department of Health and Human Services, it does take a lot of time. We have to also update everything with, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS. So there was a lot of that kind of compliances that were involved also for us to kind of get this.
Now, do you guys do non-emergency transport, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So that's you wouldn't correct. Be showing up in an accident.
No, that's a special permit that the city or the county needs to give for the 911 services.
Okay.
So we are primarily for the interfacility transports is what we call it as IFT, which means that if there's somebody in the ER that needs to get admitted to the hospital, then that's when they would use us. So we need to have contracts, with the facilities where they would then call us. So we would do from... say ERs to hospitals, to skilled nursing facilities, to hospices, and we do those kinds of transports. So if there's something unseen, accidents or picking up somebody from the residence would not really be something that we would do.
Want to become a business owner but not sure where to start? A hole-in-the-wall drywall repair franchise could be the opportunity you've been waiting for. As a franchisee, you'll have access to our comprehensive training program, ongoing support, and a proven business model developed to help entrepreneurs like yourself succeed. With our low overhead costs and high demand for services, you'll be able to hit the ground running and start generating income quickly. Achieve financial success while providing a valuable service to your community. Go to holeinthewallfranchising.com and take the first steps towards achieving your entrepreneurial dreams.
So making the decision to kind of rebrand, I mean, that had to come with a cost because I've seen you've upscaled, you've refreshed your vehicles, you've got new vehicles. They're not just putting new logos on old vehicles, but they literally are beautiful, state-of-the-art,
Yes.
So somewhere in this process, you had to go to the investors and all the partners and say, all right.
We need to spend a bunch of money.
If you want to do this, we got to lean into it a little bit, right?
So, when we wanted to kind of reintroduce the company to the market, when we wanted to let all the facilities and all the customers that we work with, let them know that we are doing something different, then we wanted to make a complete case that was something that people could logically understand. So number one, we had a change of ownership. Number two, we had, I mean, that is when the investors took over the business. So number two, we had change of management. Number three, we were replacing all our old aged fleets with brand new ambulances. We got brand new stretchers to go with them. I didn't realize the cost of a stretcher till I bought one.
Oh.
And we bought 10 of them.
Oh, my.
And then we also decided to go for some state-of-the-art equipment on the ambulances to make them some of the finest ambulances that you could find in Central Florida. So, for example, we went in for some of the best ventilator systems that is ever available. There's something that is used by some of the biggest hospitals in their ICUs. We have the provision now, the capability of continuing that level of service during the transport. We have, three-channel pumps that can medicate three different medicines at the same time. So we kind of wanted to really rebrand the company, not just for the namesake, but truly and internally. We came up with stronger systems. We came up with, we introduced new software in the company that has made the company more stronger and more robust, the systems. We introduced some state-of-the-art GPS systems in the company that can track all our ambulances in real time and let us know where they are. You know, just the other day we had an incident when due to an error, the crew was driving on a completely different direction. Our dispatch could kind of sense it and see it on the screen and realize that they were supposed to go on this side. They were supposed to travel east and they're traveling west. They immediately called up the ambulance and they called up the crew and the crew realized that they made a mistake. So they had to turn around and move. That could be done real time so that we can be very, we pride ourselves in giving honest and accurate ETAs to the facilities. Normally, one of the biggest complaints that has been in a lot of hospitals and a lot of patients actually is that they have to wait for hours for the ambulances to come. Mm-hmm. So when we give them a particular time, we show up at that time. It's a very simple thing, but it has taken a lot of efforts for us to do that. So when everybody started realizing what the new things we were doing, we thought that it was only right for us to kind of rebrand. We changed the color from what it was to going black and gold. The gold, one of the reasons for that was because our team, everybody feels that we are setting the gold standard in the EMS industry. So
I like that.
So that was the thought process behind doing
that. Yeah, and I'm curious, once the decision was made, mm-hmm. How was the implementation with your employees? How did you disseminate that? And how quickly were you able to kind of change course with the culture?
So what we did was that was a very interesting question. What we did was that we had to, in order to make it as seamless and as smooth as possible, we had to take our employees in confidence. Because sometimes when people would not know, the employees wouldn't have a lot of information that we would have, it could stir panic. It could be causing panic amongst them and they think that there are a lot of different things happening. So we had to, in a very subtle manner, start disseminating information to our crews through our supervisors, where they came to know that there were some good changes, positive changes happening in the company. So then they were warming up to those ideas. And it kind of, the way we worked that out, it was a process of about 2.5 to 3 months where our crews were the ones to say that actually now we should rebrand. So it became easier for us. And, the color that we chose, we knew that on getting subtle hints from them that was the color that they wanted. So now they're more proud of wearing that color. And it just happened more seamlessly. And then we made it a little bit symbolic as well. So we had a big, kind of a launch party that we called it, where we had all our crews with their families. They were welcome to come. And, we had a little bit of a celebration. We rolled out all our ambulances at the same time. They were all driven in with the new logos, with the new, stickers that were put on them. And it just made it easier and better for the crews also to accept it, because they were already now in sync and in completely in tune with what we were working on.
Yeah. Was there an element of turnover? Were there people who just couldn't accept the changes?
On the contrary, it was the opposite effect. So we were fortunate that not only that all our crews that were already working with us were very excited and happy about it, but we had some of our former employees who were really good people, but who had left us a few years ago because of the previous management. They all started coming back to us. So now we have about, I think, almost 7 or 8 of our former employees who have come back to us.
Oh,
and
how great.
They have appreciated the rebranding. They were staying away because of the earlier brand. So they said that now this is a new company with a new brand and everything new. So we would like to be a part of it.
So maybe you're attracting employees even from competitors then.
Well, we do have people coming, and then we are following a more stringent recruitment process. That is one of the changes that we've made, because in the EMS industry, they say that anybody who actually has a pulse is hired. Mm-hmm. But we are very particular. We have tied up with some very good training schools out here in Orlando. And we also are more thorough, because we just don't want to appoint anyone just for the sake of it. We want to appoint people who match our work ethos and our values, and they believe in our vision and mission. And those are the people that we have decided that would be the right fit for us. And that is how we have been able to lower the attrition rate that was there. Earlier, it was like a continuous revolving door. Now we have been able to increase our retention significantly in the company, which is, I think, for the industry, quite groundbreaking.
Well, so when you go into a new company, any company, mm-hmm. and obviously Trident is your company that you're with now. You have some principles to success. You have some things that you have observed over the years that you would do your seminars on. And so maybe we can kind of walk through some of those steps and how it affected your existing company in some real time things. What are some of the things that you would recommend someone right off the bat? You want to be successful. What is the one thing that we could start with?
Great question. So I'm a very firm believer that if you're a business owner, then you need to be well-rounded and not just have knowledge or skills only for one particular thing. Some of the things that we would need to work on are to getting that well-rounded experience. There would be, I have a mechanism that I call it as the 8 key strategies required for an entrepreneur or for a business owner to be successful. So one of them, the first one that I would like to begin with, is building a strong foundation. You know, they would have probably, like you have the Empire State Building that is currently completing almost about 95 years or so. Why is that building been there for that long? One of the reasons is because it's got a very strong foundation. The trees that grow old, they are hundreds of years old because they have got very deep roots. Similarly for a business, what is the foundation that every business has? A lot of people don't focus on that. I think business owners get quite carried away with the fact that I know the skill, I know how to do this, so let me go and start my business. But there are a lot of things that come along with it, which is where there are so many blind spots in the business that people are not completely aware of. So building a strong foundation is key. There are 8 different elements to building. How do you build a strong foundation? It's having a vision, mission, and a value statement so that it can always act like a North Star, a guiding star to you, so that you don't digress from where you originally, the reason why you started the company, where you belong, what you want to accomplish. I got, one of the very inspiring stories that I do share in the workshop is about the core value statement of Starbucks. That I came across was that when Starbucks was doing very well and then it started kind of going down a little bit, that's when they had to bring in Howard Schultz back again in the company in 2008. When he left in 2000, it was with 3,500 stores and odd. And in 2008, they had almost about 15,000 stores. And still they had to bring him in because the company was not doing so well. That's when he realized, and one of their fundamental things that he thought was that we are not in the coffee business serving people. We are in the people business serving coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that value. And then he made changes around that in order to bring the company back up again. right? Likewise, there are many companies that we discuss about their value statement. So that is one thing. Then the competency analysis, the SWOT analysis that you do to find out where are you, because everybody has their strengths, everybody has their weaknesses, everybody has opportunities, and everybody has threats. But sometimes business owners only start the business based on their strength levels. They don't focus enough on their weaknesses and try to fill in those weaknesses with, it could be somebody else's strength. So likewise, that's building a strong foundation. Understanding, how do you build a great team? You might start off as a solopreneur, as what we call it sometimes, it's just a single entrepreneur. But soon, if you want to grow your business, you can only grow when you would have, some more people working with you, for you.
You're limited by your own skill set.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's where it comes in. Like, how do you build a high performance team? Normally, they say that people are, the biggest assets of any company. I think I would like to correct that statement. And instead of just people being the biggest assets of the company, it is the right people are the biggest assets of the company.
Yeah.
Those are some of the things that you focus on. And how do you build a high-performance team? Because it's easier said than done. Because you could have an average performer, but then turning an average performer into a high performer, it requires certain skill sets, which also an entrepreneur needs to be aware about. Then focusing on the marketing, because any and every business needs marketing in some form or the other. Understanding, beginning with the psychology of why people don't buy things. Right. And then when it comes for you to selling things, it becomes more easier because now you are already taking care or you're building it into your strategy of the objections that might come in. So you already have a way around that. So there are 5 reasons why people don't buy things, and it can all get detailed. But those are some of the things. Then you focus on how to become an effective leader. Are you the right leader for your company? That is, again, a very important thing. You see, when you have some young people like Larry Page or Sergey Brin, when they started Google, they were the ones who were the founders of Google, but they realized that there could be somebody else who could do a better job than them. And that's why they had to retire from being a CEO to just being an investor and, being involved with the company on the board, but not taking the day-to-day decisions. Well, normally, people don't do that.
Well, I've seen throughout the years that just because you're good, like say you're a mechanic, and I'm a good mechanic, that does not mean I'm going to be a good mechanic shop owner.
Absolutely.
And just because I might be good at a certain task, good drywaller, doesn't mean that I'm going to be a good manager of managing people to do drywall. True. And I think the well-roundedness is important because as a business owner or someone who's seeking to be a business, you can't just focus on, like, we're a drywall company. But the people who buy our franchises have to do more than just do drywall. They have to be able to do the relationship building. They have to be able to lead. They have to talk with the customers in the proper way. They have to be able to partner with the right people for marketing and accounting services.
Yeah, and as Sanjay just said a few moments ago, they're not in the drywall business. They're in the people business doing drywall.
Exactly.
Yes. So, you rightly said it. I had once a client that I was working with, and he graduated from some university in Miami, and he was a culinary expert. So he was a chef. Basically, every chef's always ambition and desire is to start their own restaurant. So he did approach me with that perspective, like, I want to start my restaurant. How should I go about doing it? And because he's a chef, now once when he starts a restaurant, he's not just a chef anymore. He's a restaurant owner. And that's where he has to have and also have the ability to imbibe different skill sets to be successful as a restaurateur. Because most of the restaurants, I think, is one of the business that fails the maximum.
Yeah.
Right. And there are so many different skill sets required because you might be just good at cooking a few things or making a few things, but it needs another skill set level in order to be successful at it. So those are some of the points that we cover in the workshop that, we want to make sure that people understand that they do get those. Then it's time management because, when you are starting off as a business owner at that time, you're always very busy, but then that's not sustainable over a long period of time. You need to make sure that how do you manage your time well? Because what we would do or what a regular person does in 8 to 10 hours, even if you're the richest person in the world, you still have the same number of hours to work. You don't have 48 hours.
Right.
You still have 24 hours. How do you make the best use of that time? time and what are the things that you do. So some very simple time management skills and techniques is what we also discuss. A lot of businesses discuss about, you know, the things that you should do, but I like to cover certain areas of certain aspects of what you should not do in your business, because when you should not grow, you know, everybody wants to grow, but when are the times when you don't grow? After doing several case studies of some of the, everybody does the rags to riches, which is very inspiring. But what is equally inspiring is riches to rags. When you follow those stories as well, that time you realize that these are the things that we shouldn't do. And, you know, we've personally experienced certain mistakes that were there made in the companies, you know, that I was with earlier, and realized that these are the things that we should not be working on. And then some growth hacking tactics and strategies. They are very interesting. So, you know, trying to focus on those things, how can you focus on growth hacking strategies in your own business? Because every business has got a lot of competition. No matter how intense the competition is, what can you do to set yourself apart? Right? Those are some of the approaches and the strategies that we work on. So that is what we share that in the workshop. But taking those same things, cues, you know, into this business, we've been able to make some transformations. So the first thing that I did for the first year was trying to develop a strong foundation for the company. You know, like I said, the revolving door, we had to stop that. We understood how the nature of this industry was to how it should be. And then we are trying to do things that probably what I hear from my people who have also joined us from other competition is that they've never seen this. They've never heard this. So, you know, we are trying to do something different.
Nice.
I think we relate to him on that because we've... In our industry, Sanjay, everybody knows what a drywall guy is. They know what to expect, and we have always said we're the undrywall company. We're not your father's drywall company. And so, early on, in a lot of conversations when we meet someone, we're actually explaining what we don't do because it's so non-standard, and we have put a lot of effort into constructing a company where our employees understand we're different. We do things differently.
Yeah, and the revolving door is real. And especially this whole post-COVID market, it's even worse than ever.
Yes.
You know, prior to COVID, we were able to, you know, put an ad out and we would have 20, 30 applications, you know. And then we had a choice. We could pick the right people. Mm. They weren't the greatest people, but they were still some, well, now after COVID, we put an ad out and if I get five, I'm lucky. And if I can get a hold of four of the five, I'm really lucky. And if I can make an appointment for two or three of those four, that's great. And if one shows up, it's a miracle, you know?
Yes.
And so hiring the right person is important, which is why when we start looking for the proper candidate, I mean, Bill and I always say that we're never looking, but we're always scouting.
Scouting talent.
Always trying to scout talent. So when you find the right person, you have to be able to react to it.
Yes.
But it's hard to find that person if you don't have the proper culture.
That is true.
Most people, when they think of drywall, they think of like commercial, they think of like production drywall, and those guys kind of can be a little rough around the edges. They can, you know, they may have a record, you know, a criminal record, or they may like to imbibe and different types of narcotics that they shouldn't be, but it's no big deal because they're in a house that there's nobody in. Mm. Well, we work in people's homes every day. And so we can't have that caliber of person in our situation. So when we hire people, it's important that they have to follow and deal with the set of principles that we set as our core culture here as a company. Mm. But reducing the volume of turnover is difficult.
It's quite a challenge, actually.
And there's a lot of companies I know that their companies, you know, whether you're a Taco Bell or whatever, they literally just have teams just to hire people.
Yeah, absolutely. They're constantly hiring.
Yeah. They're really a hiring company that hopefully every now and then sells a taco.
Yeah.
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 Very good.
That is true.
Well, Sanjay, we are at half an hour. Mm-hmm. And I could probably talk for another 3 hours. And hopefully we will. But I just want to thank you for being here. And I'm curious, is there any final parting words, any kind of words of wisdom? Because I'm going to tease you to come back again in a couple of months. And we're going to put this on the books. And so we can just keep digging into these principles and kind of digging into ways that we can grow as business owners. But any last kind of parting words, any things you want to just have people listen to?
One of the things that I would like to, bring up is that we are all always constantly busy. We are always constantly working. Most of the business owners, everybody is just focused on what is coming to them. What is, I think, also important is sometimes to kind of take a step back and to reflect on what were the things that you did the last year that worked? What were the things that you did that didn't work? And to then try to develop another approach or a strategy or a plan for this year or for the coming years, and to see how you can do things differently. Because one of the constant changes is to evolve continuously, right? We need to do that. So the more we do that, the better it gets. And that is how we keep on top of the competition, and also be always abreast with what's required in the industry rather than being outdated very soon. So when people stop doing that, that's when usually they start sliding down. And that's one of the suggestions that, comes to my mind, which is what I try to do. What did I do differently in the previous year, in 2022 to 2023? What am I going to do? What is my focus for the year 2024? And where do I need it to be? So I look at it that way. And I think that has helped me a lot. That has helped the company a lot. That's helped the team in the company a lot. And I think similar, reflection would help a lot of other businesses.
Well, when you do that, it helps mitigate complacency, right?
Absolutely.
So if you're always looking to move forward, even moving forward a little bit, right? Some growth is better than zero growth.
Absolutely.
We always say if you're standing still, you're going backwards.
Right.
So when you take a peek at what you did do, it helps you get motivated to do better and do more.
Absolutely.
So that's great advice.
And I'd like to offer one insight. Sometimes growth, it comes by elimination, by taking something away. Mm-hmm. Maybe something we were doing last year wasn't so good. Let's just eliminate that.
And we've done that. I mean, I have a friend who does gardening, and sometimes you got to prune those hedges to get them to grow better. So it's difficult decisions. I will say that there's a phenomenon that as business owners, we have an ego and we don't want to admit failure. And so we'll do something and then it might not be the right choice, but if we stop it, we've admitted we failed.
And also, in addition to that ego, it's also the denial. Usually the business owners are also in a lot of denial. They think that things can't go wrong with them. As they say that, when you start a business, you have that the honeymoon phase. And then you get into that, with a little bit of success, you get into that founder's trap, right? Where things are going right, everything is good. So you already think that you've set up the business, you're doing well. So you know you've cracked the code. And once you move forward, then either there is denial, where people are in denial that no, I don't need to change. I don't need to evolve because what I did 5 years, 10 years ago has got me to where I am. So I need to continue doing the same thing. But that's where things need to change because the business has changed. The world's become more dynamic and than what it was earlier. So we need to constantly be on the move, constantly need to reflect on ourselves and our strategies and our approaches. What worked, a year ago may not necessarily work now. So what brought in people earlier may not necessarily bring in people now, right? And the same thing for everything
well said.
Else.
Very well said.
Well said.
Yeah.
Listen, I was about to wrap it up 5 minutes ago, but then we got some good stuff going on there. So holy moly. Well, listen, thank you again for being here. I can't wait to have you back again.
Thank you so much.
I just love the friendship that we've created over the years and bless a year in our lives. And I just want to thank you for being here.
Yeah, dittos.
And if someone wants to get hold of you to kind of talk about some of this coaching, I mean, what's a good way for that to happen?
Well, they can just actually visit my website, amsonconsulting.com. And they can reach out to me through that. They can also find me on our website, tridentems.com, and approach me through that as well.
All right, very good. To be continued.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming today.
Pleasure.
Love having you.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
We'd like to thank you for listening to the Hole in the Wall Business Podcast with Bill and James. We'd love for you to join our Facebook group and keep the conversation going. If you'd like to learn more about us and our business, check us out at holeinthewall.com. If you'd like to learn more about how to start a Hole in the Wall franchise, go to holeinthewallfranchising.com.